B-Pod Studios.
Zolak. I digress. That tastes different in Florida.
Bertrand. I got no brother chili.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 Sports Zone.
O'Donnell again drops to the right knee. Wearing the number 16, he turns to the long snapper. In the number 2, Crosby steps to his left, two strides, and waits in the staggered stance. In overtime for the win for Green Bay. The snap and the kick, airborne to the uprights. And that kick is good. Green Bay wins it on the final play of OT, 27-24.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome into Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Good morning.
So, welcome back.
It's good to be back.
How was the weekend in Green Bay? Good?
That's a good trip. Yeah, it's a good trip. It's always a good trip out there. Much better with the weather this time. Like, last time we were out there, it was freezing.
Looked like a gorgeous day.
65, sunny. You know, people wearing shorts and t-shirts. It's a great setting. It really is. Like, their jumbotrons suck. You know, they got one of the worst. They got the two worst jumbotrons in the league, but it doesn't matter because it says Lambeau Field on the top of it.
We get into the game itself, Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I've never been there.
Yeah.
But from watching on television, it appears that in one of the end zones, there are seats that go very high.
Oh, yeah.
How far away from the field are those seats?
Not that far.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, because on TV and in pictures, it looks like they are a mile away. And I thought, did they just tack the, and I think they added them on at some point. I'm like,
they did.
Did they just tack those on at some point just to be able to get more people into the building? But they're not bad, you're telling me.
They're not bad at all. Okay. They added those, I don't know how many years ago. They weren't there when I played there. When I played there, it was just the bowl. So what's cool about the place is, like, they leave the old yellow railings. It's sort of like Fenway Park, I guess, in a sense.
Like the red railings at Fenway.
Yeah, you could see where the old bowl ended. Yeah. And then you could see where the new seats were added on to extend the bowl. And then they engulfed the whole one side with triple luxury boxes all the way around. It's all flat. But the end zone you're talking about, they sort of had the aircraft carrier stagger, double-decker, up in both corners. It's kind of like the upper deck in Pittsburgh, you know, sort of like that, where it's two rows, two levels of seating that hangs over. And it literally almost hangs over the field. But I don't think it's a bad seat in the house. I got there, I had to do TV for 11:30 here. So I was there 10:30 for a 3:30 kick. So I had a lot of time to spend.
Oh, yeah.
So I just walked around the stadium, went underneath.
Soak it all in.
Yeah. I mean, I did that at MetLife, too, if I'm getting there early enough. But just to see New York over the top. But, man, they got it set up right there. They got this place called Titletown outside. It has nothing to do with the trophies. It has to do with tailgating. So it's for the kids. They have, they have a sledding hill. They all sit on this hill. It's a grass hillside. You could climb all the way to the top on. They all tailgate and hang out there. And somebody told me it was a sledding hill for the winter. So you climb up its stairs and you come sliding down it, I guess, on sleds.
Obviously. So like during a tailgate there now.
During a tailgate, you could sled and
sledding.
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah, I'm sure people in Buffalo would love to do that too. But they have all these tents, all these interactive things, and it's all has to do with like brats and beer gardens. And it's what everybody does. It's kind of a walkthrough. Like Disney World, like this is what you do to get into the game. And it's called Titletown. It has nothing to do with their Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is right there, too. They have their own Hall of Fame, which I guess is outstanding.
Now I heard from Bob Soucy that
Bob had a private tour that late.
Very, very interesting. Yeah. And he said it was better than the actual Hall of Fame.
He said the way it's done,
So better than Canton.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to the game itself. It sounds like everyone who did make it out to Green Bay, I know a lot of Patriots fans made the trip. Sounds like it was a great weekend, and the game itself was exciting. You can say that about this game. Despite it being another Patriot loss, it was an exciting game that obviously came down to the wire and resulted in an OT win with seconds remaining in the overtime. Yeah. A lot to get to here.
What was the tone of your postgame? Hardy did the postgame.
First and foremost, I have a question to ask you that's very, very general about Bailey Zappe. Yeah. But the tone of the postgame on Patriots.com was I think Paul Perillo's statement was, in the history of not a moral victory, but a good Patriots loss, that was among the best of good Patriots losses.
There's two of them that happened in that building. It was 14, you know, the Revis year, because we went out to San Diego for a week after that. They ended up going on to the Super Bowl. I don't think this team's a Super Bowl team, but they're 1-3. They were 1-3 last year. I kind of feel better about this team at 1-3 here than I do last year. I don't know why.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know that I would go that far.
I know. But
just in terms of the game, that one game in a vacuum, because you could draw it up to where that could have been a blow-up. That could have been Aaron Rodgers finding some rhythm by week four. You're coming in there with Brian Hoyer.
Yep.
Hoyer goes out on the second drive. You got Bailey Zappi. This could have been a bloodbath.
Right.
And instead, you take him to overtime. Now, why did it happen that way? That's what, you know, obviously we're going to get into. You know, how bad was Aaron Rodgers in the first half? According, you know, if you listen to Bill Belichick, the guy was lights out and didn't miss a completion all game, according to Bill's assessment, you know, in the post game. But I think it was a combination of Rodgers not playing well in the first half and Zappi coming in and doing essentially about as well as you would have hoped for. Forget about Brian Hoyer.
Mac Jones.
Yeah. That, to me, was the tone of the game. And if you take that team on that field with your circumstances to overtime, you can take a lot out of that performance and feel as good as you can about a loss. So that was the tone of the post game. But
I think generally speaking, you know, this team needs something at this moment in time to sort of cling to going forward. You know, this type of loss can give you a positive feeling going forward that you are getting better despite having lost the game. Right. And I just think it has to do with the quarterback they faced, being on the road, the environment that they were playing in, all of that, to go on the road and take this game down to the wire while facing some adversity at quarterback, obviously, I think probably has them feeling pretty good as far as, you know, in terms of how good you can feel after a loss.
Yeah.
Right. So moral victory. I don't know. Yeah. You can call it a moral victory. I think it actually probably raised the morale of the team. So I'll take the moral victory today. It's not a game I expected them to win. I don't think a lot of people did expect them to win it, and they played as well as they could have played in a loss, and they've got some things going on. What I don't know that I would compare it to, and I know Ted Johnson brought this up on TV yesterday, and I don't think he was comparing it to it either, but there are other games over the years, whether it was St. Louis in 2001 when the Patriots lost at home to the Rams and then would later face them in the Super Bowl, and the Patriots came away from that loss feeling like they were playing pretty well. I know the game against the world champion Dallas Cowboys in 96. How do you feel about that, Drew? How do you feel about playing those world champion Dallas Cowboys? That was a 12-6 game.
Yeah.
Did you guys feel good after that one? Like, okay, we hung with these guys. We're on the road. You were at Dallas in that one. It was in December. Tight game.
Yeah, because it's the stage and everything. And I think that's kind of like what you take from it yesterday, the whole venue, what you're up against, who you're playing against. And I was amazed how much he warmed up. Me and Aaron Rodgers, he warmed up for over an hour and 15 minutes. I've never seen anything like it.
Putting on a clinic.
Out there in shorts, just, okay, wow, why is he out here so early? Because I remember looking at my watch, okay. And then food opened up, went, hey, came back, watched him still out there throwing with Lazard for like another 20 minutes. Then I go down and do the field stuff to walk around. I'm like, holy crap, he's still out here. It went on for an hour and 15 minutes. See, like Brady never went out warmed up. Hoyer doesn't really go out warm up. He goes out and throws a couple. Not that it's right or wrong.
It has shown over the years.
But like, here's a guy at 36, 37. Yeah, tucks his shorts in, like old man shorts, typical Hardy. It's like he's got his gym shorts on, but his T-shirt's tucked in, you know, and it's pulled up over his belly button. He's got a towel hanging out of the back that he doesn't even use, a baseball hat on. He looks like some beer guzzling softball player, old guy, you know, out there just trying to hang on to the end here. And he was throwing freaking dimes at warm up.
Second
off the back foot.
So
just
second half, Aaron Rodgers was better than the first half.
Yeah,
and that's my question for Zoe. Like two things. What about Bailey Zappi? You know, obviously, what you think, and we're going to spend a lot of time, I think, more time today on Bailey Zappi. But how bad was Rodgers in the first half? How much of it was on the receivers? Because it's difficult for me to tell. Like, is it guys just not running the correct routes, or was Rodgers that off? Because he looked off.
He was off. We talked about it multiple times, and even right before the pick six, I go to Bob. I'm like, what's going on here? Like, I've never seen him like this, because he was like off the back foot. The timing wasn't there. It wasn't like the receiver was supposed to be here. This guy slipped. And then, like, when he threw the dime to 87, Dobbs down in the back corner, like, he dropped that one. I know they said he didn't continue the catch. Like, that's where, he's starting to heat up. You know, in the 32-yarder to Lazard down the right sideline.
But that was into the third quarter.
I know, but that's when, okay, he's in rhythm now. Now you can see it.
First half,
one, two, three, boom, his ball's out.
Passer rating in the first half was 11.2.
Yeah.
Okay, so how was it 90% on him?
It was, I mean, I think, honestly, we need to give the defense a little bit of credit here. And I talked to a couple guys after the game. They tried to mix and match stuff as much as they could. Remember, Mills was down. You got a rookie out there, so you can't go man-to-man all the time, because that kid loves taking chances, Jones, because he'll jump everything. So they had to sort of show zone, get out it. They played some robber in the middle. McCourty, they rotated four different safeties in. Mack Wilson got hit with a run early in the game, which limited his snaps. You know, they're blitzing Bentley on every run. So they really had to try and mix things up, not to confuse him.
But they were
him,
doing that at the end of the game when he went ahead and put together a couple of drives. So
you can only hang for so long. You're in five quarters now. Like, how much more can we do this? He's eventually going to figure it out. And he did.
X's and Zos is coming up next. We'll get into more of the Patriots offense with Bailey Zappe.
I was going to do the mixing.
Well, now you're going to be talking about Bailey Zappe.
Sounds good.
Okay, we'll do that in X's and Zos coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Bottom of the story in the middle of the day.
Former chapter head of the Turkey Association.
Hello, Walter.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm blocking left, blocking right.
Nick plays a lot of rhythm in those matches. You know, it's a
3 or 5 technique. Wait, what's the play?
It's a combination of cover one and cover three and or some type of blitz zone.
My sophomore and junior year, we would just point. We didn't switch to the read option stuff yet. We would actually point our guy out because we had a big line.
So, Brent, what did you call on today? It says your run defense. X's and Zos is brought to you by Bannon Paving. Do what Zoe did. Get your driveway paved by Boston's best. That's Pat Bannon and the team at Bannon Paving. And do it now before the ground freezes. For a free quote, call 617-910-0580. Or visit BannonPaving.com. Bannon Paving. Eat, sleep, pave, repeat. All right, so go ahead. What'd you make of Bailey Zappe in this game yesterday?
I was pretty impressed with him. Extremely worried because I thought the kid would be, you know, crap in his pants. Butterflies flying. He did say I had the nerves. He said they had to calm me down. This is in his post game. You know, the great thing about the team was everybody tried to pick me up. They kept me in the game, you know, talking to me throughout it. I thought they called plays that helped him, meaning just get the ball in his hand quickly to get his feet wet. Now, did he miss some throws? Yes. But the first big one, like, you're hyperventilating. Like, I go back to me, like, getting in the game first time, like, you get up there, you're in the center, you hear the noise, you're just trying to remember the snap count. Can I get the snap? Can I execute the play? He was really good at the huddle and the sideline stuff. Just looking over there, just sort of staring at the wristband, knowing it, knowing the personnel groupings coming in. 80% of battles getting set up. Like, and you know, because there are a multitude of sets. They bring different personnel groups in, 12 personnel, 13. You know, Jonnu Smith goes down in the game. So you're down to your third quarterback. You're down to one tight end. And if you're going to run, you're going to send little Jordan Humphrey in the game. You got a right tackle that didn't know what game the stadium was in. I mean, what stadium the game was in. He was out to lunch all day long. You're lucky he didn't get killed and knocked around and knocked out of this game. But the kid, for his first game coming out of Western Kentucky, where the lights are its brightest. Your Lambeau Field going into fourth quarter with a shot at Aaron Rodgers. It goes to overtime, and you get the ball to 50. And I'm thinking, you're playing with house money here. You got the ball to 50 in overtime. You had them go three and out. You're right there. It's in striking distance. And they went conservative with him. They ran the ball.
Yeah, they don't trust him.
Yeah, and it reminded me of Mac in Tampa last year, against Tampa last year at the end, where you're at the 50, you're in striking distance, field goal gets it for you, and you sort of played it close to the vest, and I don't know. I mean, it's a tough one, but I just thought maybe they would have thrown it on second down with him there. Just sort of maybe set up a third and one. You know, then run it. And then maybe go for it twice. You know, two down territory. But I thought his footwork, his mechanics, and everything, except for like one time he got flushed out on the right, and he didn't get enough on the ball. He was kind of fading back. I think it was Aguilar. They kind of bounced it to, or Bourne was out.
It must have been the one to Aguilar. Aguilar should have had. I think it was.
It wasn't the best throw, but the safety's right behind him coming down. And if I'm a receiver, do you want it?
That's the one.
That was the one I was talking about. Yeah.
I think you're talking about the first incompletion of Aguilar right there, middle.
That one right there. That was his worst throw right there.
It went right through Aguilar's arms.
You know what the problem with Aguilar is? He's a basket catcher again. He's not a hands guy. Like, that's a N'Keal Harry type catch.
The throw to Aguilar was a good throw. It was a good pass.
I'm trying to catch it in my tummy. You know, Aguilar bends down. Now, he could have hung him out to dry and put it up higher. I think he would have taken a shot. But if I'm a receiver going over the middle, that's where I want the ball. I don't know what they said on the broadcast. You guys are probably watching.
Yeah, Nance was like, this is a good throw. Like, he was putting it all on Aguilar. I don't think it was horrible that Aguilar didn't catch it.
I thought a better receiver
would catch it. I'd say that.
I thought it was pretty horrible he didn't catch it.
Yeah, third quarterback in the game. You're making $15 million.
You got to make plays.
You're a $15 million player. If that's N'Keal Harry, I'm not expecting much. I mean, you're a $15 million player that made the play in Pittsburgh that got the team going.
Let me put it this way. If it were Kendrick Bourne, I would expect it to be caught. Wow. So I think it has to do with some of the expectations.
So that's more of a player than Aguilar.
I think it's about the player, yeah. Yeah, I thought the throw was okay. You know, he's facing some pressure there, and he's Bailey freaking Zappi. Yep. Make a play. You got your third string quarterback. Guy's been an NFL player for like 4 months. You know, help him out a little bit. So wasn't the best of throws, but it certainly was a catchable ball.
I thought he showed toughness, too, because, of course, Isaiah Wynn got beat around the right edge again. And that guy, Gary, who already knocked out Brian Hoyer, went helmet-to-helmet on Zappi. There was no call. Zappi's not going to get that call. It was a quick bang-bang. But the replay showed it twice, and the ball came out, and Zappi actually recovered it. Here it is right here. That's head right on the chin. Right on the helmet.
To me, that was the biggest mistake he made, not picking up.
Watch this. That's helmet.
Coming out on the right side. Because
he's supposed to be blocked.
And now my eyes
are downfield. I understand it.
It's nothing compared to the mistakes that Isaiah Wynn made yesterday.
Oh, man, it's a blow.
But for Zappi, that was pretty bad not picking that one up. But I'm telling you, that throw across the middle, if we get a chance to see it here on the replay here in the studio, you know, and watch it a couple of times, you will see that Aguilar has to have that. It goes through him.
On a day like yesterday, with the situation you're in, you need to make that play.
Yes.
You're a $15 billion player, make the play.
Yes. No, I understand that for sure. Yeah. I would say this. I think the worst play for Bailey Zappi in the game was taking the sack on second and six.
19-30.
Second and six, 5:23 to go on the clock at that point. And that, to me, was really inexcusable because he'd already been in the game for a while. Okay, we're talking with 5 minutes to play. So the nerves were gone. He had already taken sacks. His awareness should have been better in that moment. Second and six turned into a third and 15. And I feel like right then and there, the Patriots took away any chance of them winning the game in regulation.
I thought it was third and 19, wasn't it? Like backed up even more maybe. But that's the one.
Second and six, okay. And then he took a nine-yard sack.
All right. So it was 15. But like at that point, you're operating.
It felt like third and forever. And that's when they had, again, one of these plays where they throw it to the tight end. They throw it to Hunter Henry for 6 yards when, it just feels like they should have more in the playbook to open something up there.
Get nothing out of
these third down, 5 yard completions do absolutely nothing for me. Yeah. They don't. So, on the whole, though,
dude, you thrust in first quarter. This wasn't like, hey,
not
in the third quarter, It's second series. Brian Hoyer had 15 snaps. And you know what this kid, you know what this kid's preparation was last week? Emulating Aaron Rodgers. Imitate Aaron Rodgers for 5 days. There's your prep for the week. Go out there, throw off your back foot, try and wing it, you know, use his snap count. Zero prep. Probably got five snaps. Probably a total of five snaps. So, hey, you're not used to calling plays with him. I thought Patricia called a good game yesterday. We could sit here and nitpick.
There was a series or two.
I was excited about.
I'm sorry, but one player in the post game, I forget who it was. I'll go back and find it. Said it was about 50-50 the reps during practice this week between Hoyer and Zappe.
Oh, really?
I'll go back and find.
You guys,
it.
There you go. You guys remember when
Dak was prepped?
We played this game a little bit a couple weeks ago. Remember when Dak got hurt in his thumb?
Yeah.
I said, hey, let's play a game here. See something would happen to Mac Jones. And I asked you guys, and it's going to be a long stretch. You go with Hoyer or you go with Zappe?
No, I've already told you, start with Hoyer.
Yeah.
Until Hoyer shows you that he's so horrific that you got to go to Zappe. And by the way, if Hoyer's ready to go this week, Hoyer starts.
Is that why he's getting 50% of the snaps in practice?
I disagree.
They kind of knew that could have happened?
I think they play Zappe this week.
Well, don't you have to? Aren't you now in a situation where you've got to make sure you had a backup to Brian Hoyer ready to go? I mean, I just think that's good preparation. That's what a normal week would be.
Sure.
You got to have your backup ready.
50-50. The 50-50 is a big swing.
As far as this week goes, they better get a good grasp on where Hoyer's at today, tomorrow. They might have to bring somebody in here this week.
Oh,
they and get someone up to speed. I mean, I think they should anyway. We discussed that a week ago, that I think they've got to bring someone else in. They've got to add an arm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because like your backup's really Jacoby Myers. Well, he was inactive.
I thought to myself, what happens if Zappe were to get hurt in this game? Who's their emergency backup now?
We went
now?
Through it. I thought it would be probably Slater to maybe functionally handle a snap, or you just go direct snap Wildcat to Harris.
Well, I'm guessing it would be the Wildcat scenario, but...
Right, and under normal circumstances, there seemed like Jacoby Myers was the name that got mentioned the most.
Yeah, he played quarterback in college.
So he was inactive, so maybe then to Harris. But again, Bill's not going to answer. You know, the difference between his press conferences this week were remarkable. From Wednesday to Friday, night and day, and then he's back in Wednesday mode last night after that game. Like, he couldn't have been any more Bill than he was last night. Like, just not giving anything. It's like, what? You have nothing to say about this kid? This rookie went out and he's like, it was whatever.
I think Bill's quietly in a better mood than he let on.
I don't care.
No, you don't.
Here's what I really like about Zappe. He's got the best arm on the team.
Yeah.
And we knew that in training camp. We said he's all arm.
He can hum
it. Kid can wing it.
He can hum it.
He can throw the football.
See, I thought there was a little bit of arc on some of those that didn't need to be.
Yeah, and I think that was him just having the nerves and hesitation. He's aiming it a little bit, because one thing we did see in training camp was, well, this kid's got a hell of an arm. Doesn't mean you can play the position, but he's got a hell of an arm. They want to keep pushing downfield, and he's got to play. He's got the arm to do it.
Push, push, push.
They can.
Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
But if Hoyer's concussion is not one that will keep him out beyond, you know, a few days, and there's heightened sensitivity with that right now in the league with
Tua, is there any chance that Hoyer's going to play on Sunday?
I don't think so.
I think there's a, you know.
Maybe.
I'd say 40% chance he plays on Sunday.
Okay.
Either way, they got to bring somebody in.
They got to bring somebody else in.
Because really, I mean, it's a quick hit. It's a quick hit to the side. He doesn't get picked up and head slammed, you know, to where. And I'm not minimizing a concussion to another concussion. I don't know how Brian Hoyer feels.
Oh, he got Nobody kicked him right on the back of the head.
That's the thing. Like, he got hit quick from the side, and then he got grazed from the back of the
head. Yeah, I didn't.
The grazing can be the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. As you know, with other
All right, parts. So here's really the question. If you have a Mac Jones at 70% going into next week, do you, and Brian Hoyer is, you know, I guess not able to play due to the concussion, and you've now got a situation of Zappe versus Mac Jones, and we'll say 70-75%. Which guy are you going with? And I think yesterday the play of Bailey Zappe was respectable enough that the team would say, we'll go with the healthy quarterback. We'll go with the guy that can move. We'll go with the guy who can move when his offensive line routinely almost gets him killed. Is Isaiah Wynn playing next week? If Isaiah Wynn is playing next week, I don't know how you could put Mac Jones in the game. How you could do it.
I say he plays.
Where were those people that told me back in August that you got to hang on to Isaiah Wynn because he represents good value as a $10 million tackle?
I didn't tell you that.
But there were some. Some of our, I don't want to name names, but some of our football guests in the preseason.
Yeah. See, the problem.
We may be talking to multiple guests over the course of this week that joined this show that were a part of that chorus.
The problem is, Cam. Like, remember Cam Fleming when they would bring him in? Now, like Marcus Cannon is now like in the Cam Fleming role, where he's the offset, you know, third tight end, pseudo tight end that we bring in big sets.
You can't play Isaiah Wynn. It's a public safety issue. These quarterbacks are citizens of the Commonwealth.
I think it's a health hazard.
You are putting them in harm's way allowing that guy to be out there.
That's putting a kid in a car with no brakes. Like,
what
go,
are you
go
doing?
For a ride.
Yeah, forget about winning a football game. The liability, there's just, you know, being a good human.
I hope he's got a good umbrella policy.
Jesus.
617-779-0985.
The cops might not let him play.
Move your feet.
Your calls are coming up on yesterday's game, the play of Bailey Zappe. I would term it respectable. It was a respectable day for Bailey Zappe being thrown into the fire as fast as he was yesterday. We'll talk about that probably for much of the day. And get your calls coming up next. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By the way, Hattie, I like
he's the calming voice of the midday show.
You're siding with PK. Hey, shut up! I'm going to ask you a question, dumbass!
Hardy.
I've never seen him snap like that.
On Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
One receiver right. Brian drops back. He's pressured. He's sacked from the right.
Right side.
And Gary gets to the quarterback. He's got a sack in each of the first four games for Green Bay.
That's a shame right here. Isaiah Wynn gets absolutely smoked on that right side. It's like taking tickets in the Mass Pike. Not that you do that anymore. You're a transponder now. They call that transponder right. I mean, come on. Give him a chance. There's no chance here. That should be picked up. Man.
So that almost looked like, again, a missed assignment. Did Wynn start to the inside?
He did. He stepped down, then he reaches right.
So, if you still did have tickets on the Mass Pike, you were going to call that ticket taker right?
Yeah, ticket taker right.
Ticket taker right.
Mm-hmm. Toll booth left.
Well,
I always hated pulling up those toll booths, but I did think those two little middle doors were cool.
Hey, Kelly.
Kind of, hello, give me your ticket, please. I don't, you know, they have folded doors, like where the people stood to take your ticket.
Yeah, those are cool.
I also like throwing the change in the bucket. You got to have quarters with you, right? Throw it in, green light, go. That was fun. Those days are gone now.
Long gone.
Yep. Shame. You know who's not long gone? I say when. Multiple, just blown. I don't want to see if it's blown assignment. Just minimal effort plays. Call it that.
If you were working hard and getting beat, you could...
You get beat by a better guy. Like,
you could at least understand it. It's hard to understand what's going on out
there. They didn't run like any special game. Like, they lined him up outside, and like we did all access this week, and part of the Belstrader was looking at this Gary guy and the pressure because he created havoc for Brady the week prior. Like, they closed the pocket down on him. So there he is right there. That's your guy. This is a magic thing here where they walk up a corner off the slot, and they run him out. Now, I get caught in the middle. You're like, uh-oh, which one's mine? You protected left. Like, when it was right there next to you, you just backstep, kick backstep right, and punch out with that right hand. It never happened.
Well, it's not just...
I mean, it was like cold bird, like kill shot. Look at this.
Well, I mean, like, if it weren't for just giving
just
up
turned.
The sacks and giving up the hit that hurt Brian Hoyer, it was the holding penalty. Well,
that's
it. It was the false start. Aww. I mean, what are we doing here?
Zappe comes in, and the very first play, this kid has got, you know, the weight of the world on his shoulders. How is it going to start? It's going to start with a false start from Isaiah Wynn.
Welcome to the NFL.
And then on the next play, it's going to be a holding call on Isaiah Wynn. But the penalty was declined because Green Bay, we don't even need that. But thanks anyway. Appreciate the effort. That's what's maddening.
I think Zappe actually got hit harder than Hoyer did, if that makes any sense. Because it's really more to the open side. Hoyer at least seemed to like cover it up a little bit. Like Zappe, Hoyer gets hit high and they roll on top of him.
Like it's too bad.
Zappe gets smoked.
It's too bad for Isaiah Wynn. I don't think he's going to be here next year. But tackles get paid in this league, and he's basically auditioning right now, and the audition is not going well.
Well, I mean,
he's losing money by the game.
Are these the proper actions of a guy that really didn't want to be here in the offseason?
Didn't buy in. Let's go back to that. He's not buying in. He doesn't show up for the offseason
stuff. It seems like the other guy bought in. Like Trent Brown. All right, I might not be getting paid like a left tackle, but I'm going to play left tackle. I'm going to bust my ass and play it. Isaiah really probably want to be the backside tackle and get paid, and now I got to play front side, so I'm not getting paid. So.
Are they still doing zone blocking? Is that the issue?
No.
That's man-to-man?
That's been scrapped.
Okay, forget it then.
Zone's been scrapped.
No, no excuse there.
I mean, he just gets beat one-on-one.
He just turned.
I mean, he doesn't.
See the right foot? Turns it in.
Oh, man.
I don't think you can play him next week.
I don't think you can either. Marcus Cannon was fine when they put him in the game.
Cannon was just on the street last week.
Marcus Cannon was at home 3 weeks ago.
So here's what you got to worry about.
Got a phone call, showed up.
I agree with you. I would my gut feeling coming out of the game yesterday, like, you got to start Cannon next week.
Cannon's not going to get beat like that. He's a veteran, and that's why they were better in the second half.
But they're dealing with the psyche of the player, too. Like, we're putting you down.
I don't give a crap about his psyche. I care about the quarterback dying.
Marcus Cannon sometimes has some health issues. Now I'm going to go in and play. You want me to go in and play hard after that? You already put Kajust on IR. You traded Haran away.
Wait, of what player are we talking about? Of Wynn or Cannon?
I said start Cannon. Like, after this game, start Cannon. But
whose psyche are we worried about?
Isaiah Wynn's.
Oh, like, I'm not worried about that.
Once you, like, shut him down, like... I don't think the psyche's great now to begin with, my point.
So, come on.
Hey.
Psyche of the player. He sucked all year.
You have no depth.
Yeah.
You have no depth there.
Hey, well, he's a depth piece now. You only use him when you absolutely have to. The psyche of the player.
Yeah.
Shouldn't even be here.
Well, losing the player.
They picked up this option. I hope they regret it. They didn't have good reason to do it other than, well, he's a tackle and tackles are expensive.
Well, they extended Jake Bailey, too. He had a hell of a day.
By the way, Joe Tooney, I know a different position, but Joe Tooney had a hell of a game last night. I just wasn't. We're talking offensive line.
I didn't see any of it. Sucks.
He had a hell of a night. He did.
Good player.
Yes,
solid.
Good player. Not that the guard play has been the problem, but I don't know. Just a former Patriot. I liked him. Unrelated. Sorry. Popped into my brain. That was believe it or not, so that's a good game last night, even though. Brady's defense really let him down.
72 points.
72 points in the game.
It's not a healthy, I think, recipe for him to throw 59 times and rush at six. He's going to get killed.
Brady, prior to last night, when scoring 31 points or more, had only lost four times in his career.
That's insane.
Last night was only the fifth time in Brady's career that his team scored 31 points or more and lost.
Jesus.
Yeah. All right, let's get to your calls. I promise we'll go right to them after this here on Zolak and Burke.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Opinionated.
Aphareus is nautical.
And passionate.
Ignorance is bliss.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the 5-minute mark, Stevenson behind Zappe, who turns and play fakes. He stands
it to the left.
He throws it to the right. Parker wide open at the 10, to the 5, to the end zone! Bailey Zappe with his first touchdown pass, and the Patriots regain the lead.
Great, great touch. Shoot the arrows, kid. I just said it before. Parker hasn't had a look yet today. It's a deep drag, and Zappe puts enough touch on over it to get it over that underneath coverage. And it's a great call by Patricia. He's been running, 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 and now we hit him with the deep drag. Wow, we got a game in Lambeau. Good job, kid. Good poise. What poise?
Wow, you can say that again.
I'd be losing
Maybe
my mind.
Maybe put it into different terms.
It was a beautiful day. Patriots now 1-3 after a loss at Green Bay yesterday, but some positive vibes coming out of that one, which is weird. You don't often have that when you're down to your third string quarterback and you're now 1-3 to start the year. But that's where we are.
It's how he responded. And you could hear it there at the end of the call. There were a lot of Patriot fans there. And we saw them everywhere. And there were a lot behind the bench. You could hear the Zappe chants. Zappe, Zappe. Like, they were rooming for the kid. Yeah. And I think it helped them a little bit.
Thousands of individuals and families in Florida affected by Hurricane Ian urgently need support. The American Red Cross is there now. For those who have been affected by the hurricane, and if you would like to help patients in Florida, the Red Cross has sent several hundred blood products to ensure blood remains available for patients in that area, which was obviously severely impacted last week. Your donations can help provide emergency shelter, food, and supplies for thousands of evacuees. And if you'd like to make a donation and learn how you can help the Red Cross disaster relief, emergency, and recovery efforts, go to 985thesportshub.com/donate.
Yeah, and it's even more than blood, too. They need water down there. I got a buddy that lives in Siesta Key. He hasn't had power for five days. No end in sight. My uncle's down there in Tampa. He's okay, but, you know, it's just there's devastation. Sanibel Island's gone. Like, they said that bridge is going to take years to rebuild. So who knows, how tough it's going to be for everybody to rebuild down there. But we got friends down there. We know people down there. And help these people out as much as you can.
All right, let's go to your phone, 617-779-0985. Charlie's in the car. Go for it, Charlie.
Hey, good morning. Hey, so there hasn't been enough talk about them not going for it on 4th and 5 when they had the ball on Green Bay's 46. I mean, I would have gone for it at that point because, I mean, you've already stopped Rodgers once. The chances are you're not going to stop him twice. So why not take a chance? I mean, and then the other point I would make is, take a shot at a field goal. Who the hell knows? I mean, there wasn't a lot of win yesterday.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Come on. I would have gone for it.
Okay. I think I may have thrown it.
65-yard field goal.
You're not kicking a field goal from there.
No.
I didn't think about it until after the fact because I thought, okay, the defense had just had a 3-and-out. They're playing well. Pin them back in there. Make him drive it, 60 yards. If you don't get it, they get one first down, they're kicking with Crosby. Like, he's hitting that one. I would have maybe thrown it on second. Run it on first because you're running it so well. Throw it on second to maybe get it down to 3rd and 1. And if you didn't pick it up at 4th and 1, maybe you go for it there.
That's the second guess. To me, it's not going for it on fourth down. It's throw on second. Throw on second down instead of going back to Damian Harris.
Yeah.
And look, I was yelling at them to let the kid throw it a little bit more in the third quarter. I'm like, he's actually having some success, so why don't you start throwing a little bit? And at this point, what do you have to lose?
Yeah.
On first down, I would have thrown the ball. Why the hell not?
Not even a first.
What do you have to lose? You're not supposed to win this
game.
They
should have run play action on one of those plays.
I said it on that.
They should have.
They took the field at the 50. I'm like, you're playing with house money. You score, you win.
But 2nd and 5, I'm like, okay, that was a nice gain from Harris on the first down. Now you throw. But instead, you go back to Harris. Okay, by the time you throw on third and it's incomplete, I'm not thinking about going for it on fourth down. You said it, Zoe. They forced a 3-and-out from the Packers on the drive before that and only burned a minute 44 in the process. Go do that again.
Yeah. Their last three possessions of this game were all 3-and-outs.
Punts. I mean, all three punts.
I don't know how you feel good about that part of it.
I don't.
And, yeah, they should have done things differently. They got way too conservative. My bigger gripe is that in regulation, when you've got the ball at midfield in the fourth quarter, that you could do more with it in that situation. And, they didn't feel that way.
I mean,
I'm sorry, in overtime.
Yeah, and I think that's coming from Bill, too. Like, Bill makes that decision. He makes the time clock decisions. Yeah, I mean, you could question that drive too. Like, but other than that, I thought Patricia, for the most part, called a pretty damn good game. And Judge, you could see, was more with the quarterback, more so than any of the guys. Like, you had to be, right? Like, he was in Zappy's ear the whole time. Bill actually came over, helped out.
Can I ask a question as it relates to that? They clearly weren't playing for the win at that point in overtime, right? They're just looking to extend the game.
They're playing for overtime.
They were just
to get to overtime.
No, but once they were in overtime,
decide
that, you know, you're going to play the way you played and be as conservative as you did, running Damian Harris twice in overtime.
Minimize mistakes. Let's let them make the first mistake. Yes.
And there's, you've already gotten a stop at that point. You forced a three and out of the Packers. You get the ball back and you're playing to extend the game, which was annoying, as the caller obviously is upset about. But if that was your plan, to just extend the game, and I think this was said on the broadcast, after the 2-minute warning, it was a run play. And Romo said it on TV. He said, "We'll expect a timeout here from the Patriots." And they didn't call the timeout. Like, then you know what? You're probably going to lose the game at that point anyway, right? They're at the 25-ish, right? They're already down in deep into Patriots territory. Why not call a timeout there? Why not just leave time on the clock? Instead, they ended up using it to try and ice a kicker. I mean, what's the point? If you're just looking to extend the game, extend the game. Hope for a miss and for there to be, I don't know, I just thought it was like one more weird thing in all of this.
You're looking at the surrender index here of that punt?
The bots, as I like to say. New England decided to punt to Green Bay from the Green Bay 46, 4th and 5, 6:53 remaining to go in overtime, tied at 24 with a surrender index of 57.09. This punt ranks in the 99.6th percentile of cowardly punts of the 2022 season and the 99.4th percentile of all punts since 1999. Yes, cowards, conservative. They didn't go for the win. I agree with that, even though I didn't know I needed all that math to prove it. Wow. Top 1% of cowardly moves in football over 2+ decades was punting from midfield in overtime. Yep. All they did was extend the game. That's all they did instead of going for it. And they don't trust Bailey Zappe. I came away with that from that fourth quarter in overtime. They don't trust this kid. He had a couple of really nice throws in this game. The Devontae Parker touchdown, the pass to Aguilar.
Pass to Bourne was a bullet.
Right? Those are like three good passes he had in the game. He made some nice passes. He didn't turn the ball over. Yes, he lacked awareness in the pocket, but what are you afraid of? You're afraid of the kid throwing a pick?
I thought he showed enough.
I thought he showed enough to open it up a little bit.
Yeah, I did too.
Like, they didn't play desperate in this game. They didn't play. They had a chance at it, and they didn't go for it. Yeah. They were happy to let Aaron Rodgers be Aaron Rodgers. You heard that in Bill's post game. No, Aaron Rodgers was just too good. Good player. Just too good. We could not have beaten Aaron Rodgers today because he was Aaron Rodgers. Why even show up?
And what was going on in the first half then? Was he Aaron Rodgers?
You
in the first
got
half?
A bad half out of Aaron Rodgers. You don't. Not every team gets that. They did.
That fluke pass on the sideline, he picked it off. Like, I even fell in my chair. I'm like, oh, my God. Because we were just talking right before that how bad Rodgers was. And then, boom, throws a pick six.
The Jack Jones, yeah.
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 Yeah, they just run out the clock. They thought, oh, we're just going to run out the clock here in the first half.
Headlines here, 90 seconds. We're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.